This is session number 56 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter 8, and last time we finished through verse 30. Last time we saw Jesus revealing who he is, in stark contrast with who the Jews are. They're from beneath, he is from above. They are of this world, he is not of this world. And he reveals the truth that unless they believe in who he is, he said, unless you believe I am he, that they would die in their sins. Jesus also then revealed the truth that the day would come when they would lift the Son of Man up and that they would then know who he is. And they would know that the things that he taught were not of his own heart, but they were from the Father himself. And yet they're not getting it. And they still won't receive it. Even when they see it, they still won't choose to bow and humble and believe because of the blindness of their sin and pride. But Jesus is nothing like them. He's not blind. In fact, he's pure light. He's not seeking his own glory and his own honor like they are. No, he's seeking to always do the will of his Father. And he even closed out by saying, I do always those things that please him. Hallelujah. And last thing we saw last time was that as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now today we come to verse 31. We're going to first read verses 31 through 36. And in this section, Jesus is going to talk about discipleship and freedom. And he's not going to talk about discipleship in general, or like a discipleship program, like the modern concept of discipleship, like you go through a few courses and now you're a disciple, you've been discipled. No. He's going to talk about becoming his disciples. And being his disciple isn't something you do and then you did it and you're done. No, we will be his disciples for the rest of our lives and through all of eternity. So let's read the text. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now this is a very important and powerful truth that Jesus Christ reveals here, and we need to get this. So before this point, he was preaching about himself. He's revealing who he is. He's the I am he. He's the one from above. And then in verse 30, as he was speaking those words, many believed on him. Listen, let's get this. When it comes to faith in Christ, the first step, the first part of our faith is we must believe in Jesus. We must believe on Jesus. What does that mean? That means believing in who he is, his identity. Remember, the whole book of John is written so that they would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It starts with him and who he is. And again, his identity is that he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one of the Father sent from above. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the King. He's the Son of the living God, the one who will rule the entire earth with a rod of iron. and dashes enemies to pieces. This is who the Christ is. You must first believe on Him for who He is. His identity is the foundation of our faith. Read Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Jesus is asking them, "Who do men say that I am?" And then He says, "But who do you say that I am?" Notice the issue is, who is He? His identity. Long before we ever obey Christ, long before we ever understand our call and fulfill the call that He's given us, before we even really understand and know everything that He's done, it first starts with who He is. And so He's preaching, He's revealing Himself. This is what Jesus is doing all through John. He's revealing Himself, and through revealing Himself, He's pointing people back to the Father. Because ultimately, He is the way back to the Father. And in verse 30, people are believing on Him. Hallelujah! It all starts with believing in Him and on Him. But the story's not done. The gospel's not finished. The work is not over. Jesus doesn't want you to just believe in who He is. But He wants to call you to Himself to become His disciples. Does that make sense? Listen, if I just believe Jesus is the Messiah, but there's never an invitation for me to walk with Him. There's never an invitation for me to talk to Him. There's never an invitation for me to hear from Him and learn from Him and obey Him so that I can be transformed and become like Him. Then what is this? We'd just all be a bunch of sinners on our way to hell who would see Jesus for who He is and we'd go, "Wow, He's worthy, but there's no hope for me. I'm a vile sinner." But no, that's not the gospel. Yes, the gospel is based in who He is, but then He's going to open up the invitation. Now, just because you believe in who Jesus is doesn't mean you're His disciple. Doesn't mean you've received the invitation. There's a next step, and this is where verse 31, this is why it's so key. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him." So the ones that are believing Him, they're believing, this is the Messiah. He's the one. Wow, it's resonating in their heart. It's beautiful, just like it resonated in Peter's heart back in Matthew 16. What is Jesus going to then say to them? He says, "If," see that word, "if." If is not a guarantee. "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." We must personally continue in Christ's word. If ye continue in My word. So notice, it's personally continue. Continue in what? My word, Christ's word. Man, I tell people all the time, don't judge Jesus based on other people who claim to represent Jesus. Read Jesus' words for yourself. Jesus didn't say, "If you continue in church, then you'll be My disciples indeed." He didn't say, "If you go through the discipleship program at the church, then you're My disciples indeed." No. He didn't say, "If you read through your Bible once, then you're My disciple indeed." No. He said, "If you continue in My word." Notice first, it's His word. You got to hear His word. How can you even continue in a word you haven't even heard? You first got to hear it. You got to hear it. You got to read it. Not man's words, not man's traditions, not my words, not the church's words, not the denomination's words. Hopefully they're speaking Christ's words, but you got to continue in Christ's words. But notice, continue. This is persistence. You have to persist in it. You have to press into it. You have to push into it. This isn't just like, "Hey, I heard it once. Hey, I did that. I'm done." No, if you continue in My word. He says, "Then are you My disciples indeed." So notice, this continuance is not just hearing. It's not just reading. We know it's not just hearing. It's not just reading. Why? Because in Matthew 7, the foolish man is the man who hears Christ's word but won't obey it. He won't do what Christ says. And he is not built on the rock. He's built on the sand. And when the floods and the wind and the rain come, that house is going to fall flat. Great will be the fall of it, he says. No, this is a continuance unto obedience. Just like in Matthew 7, the wise man who builds his house on the rock is the man who hears Christ's words and obeys Christ's words. It's just like in James chapter 1, when James describes not being a forgetful hearer of the word. That's someone who deceives themselves. If you just hear the word, but it doesn't change you and you don't obey it, you don't continue in it, then you're just a forgetful hearer and you're deceiving yourself. No. But those who continue in the perfect law of liberty. See, James talking about liberty through continuing in the word. Guess what? That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. You know where James learned that? He learned it from Jesus. So he talks about those who look into that perfect law of liberty and continue in it, not being a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Listen, this continuance that Jesus Christ is talking about is not just hearing it. He's talking about unto obedience. And so what will happen? What will happen if I continue in Christ's word unto obedience? He says, then, first thing, you are my disciples indeed. We will actually be Jesus Christ's disciples, not just in word, quote unquote, not just claiming we're Christians. No, we will actually genuinely be his disciples. Now, I want to make a point real quick that I think is important to understand. To be a disciple of a master was not to be someone who just sat and listened to the master and said, wow, the master's amazing. Wow, look at what he can do. I could never do that. A disciple of a master wasn't someone who just became a fan of the master and pumped the master. No, a true disciple of a master was someone who counted the cost, who separated himself from other affairs of this life to be separated unto the master and to sit and learn from the master and live by the master and watch the master and begin to learn how to do what the master does. It was almost like an apprenticeship. That's what a disciple of a master was. It's not just, wow, he's amazing. Look at him. He's great. Let me go tell everybody about him. But it's like, wow, look at him. I want to learn how to do what he does. Amen. Now listen, what did Jesus do? Well, what did he just say? He said that the one who sent me is with me. He said, I don't do anything of myself, but as the Father teaches me, that's what I speak. He says, the Father has not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. You know what Jesus did? He was a man who did the will of God. He walked in perfect liberty. He was free from the bondage and oppression of sin. He was free from the depression and filth and all the junk that comes along with sin. And he was free to walk at liberty and to walk in the power of the Father to help release others from the power of sin, to help bring healing to the brokenhearted, to help gather the outcast, to preach the gospel to the poor. He always did what pleased his Father. Listen, if you could learn how to do what pleases God, you would have such joy and such peace and such love and such grace and such forgiveness and such patience. All those things that are of God would just abound in you. If you could learn how to do what pleases the Father, because that's what man was created to do, is to please his God. And guess what? Jesus did it perfectly. He's the master. You know what? There were people They wanted to be free from sin. They wanted to serve the living God. They wanted their life to count for the Lord. They wanted to make a difference in others' lives. And when Jesus showed up, they saw, he's the master. I want to be his disciple. I want to walk with him and learn from him and listen to him and become like him. Now listen, we understand there's only one Jesus Christ. We don't become Jesus Christ. But the whole purpose of believing on Christ is so that we can be made free from sin. This is what he's talking about here, to be made free from sin so that we can become like Jesus, that we can be conformed to his image, so that we can become what mankind was supposed to be, what God's intention and design was. Man, and Jesus says, if you continue on my word, then are you my disciples indeed? Disciple indeed. A disciple needs discipline. He needs to count the cost. He needs to see that the reward and the outcome is worth all the pain and discipline and consecration required. Yes, it doesn't come easy. Greatness does not come easy. You're talking about becoming like Jesus Christ. That's not some small, quick little thing. You're not going to do that in a 10-week course. Discipleship is not a 10-week course. This is going to be a lifelong journey of walking in obedience to Jesus Christ, hearing his word, and learning how to do the things that please the Father. But he says, you can be my real disciple. You can be a disciple indeed. Amen? Indeed. Not just in word, but indeed, in truth, in reality, in action. And not only do you get to be Christ's disciples, indeed, but guess what? If you continue in Christ's word, ye shall know the truth. Man, there's such a power to truth that riches and money and materialism and vanity and drinking and partying and blah, 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 none of that stuff has that power. There's a power and a substance and a purpose and an importance in truth that none of those things can even come close to touching. And when you finally meet someone who has truth, who speaks truth, there's something so attractive about it. You go, I want that. I want to know truth like him. Man, truth is powerful. Jesus Christ came from heaven to bear witness to the truth. That's one of the main reasons why he came to this earth, is to bear witness to the truth. He goes, and you'll know the truth. Now, the truth isn't just information, but the truth is actually revelation. And they're not just words, although God uses words to impart truth. But Jesus Christ himself is the truth. John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul's talking about his whole desire was to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to be found in him. I want to win him. Why? Because he is the truth. You'll know the truth. By the way, no lie is of the truth. You can't mix lies and truth. This is why Jesus said you have to continue in my word. Listen, there's many people continuing in their church's word, but their church has departed from the words of Christ, and they don't know him. They don't know the truth, and they're not free. They're still bound to sin. They're still bound to lust. They're bound to uncleanness. They're bound to pride. They're bound to greed. They're bound to hate. They're bound to envy. They're bound to wrath and strife. No, the only way you can be his disciple in reality and indeed, you have to continue in his word. And if you continue in his word, you'll not only be his disciple, you'll know the truth. And guess what the truth will do? And the truth shall make you free. Now, I want to lay this out for you. I wish I had a whiteboard to write this down for you. But see if you can follow what I'm saying. What I'm about to say is true according to a bunch of scriptures that I've lined up. If you pay careful attention to this passage in John 8, and if you also read Romans chapter 8 and Galatians 4, And then you line that up with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here's what you'll find. Christ's word leads to truth. Truth leads to sonship and adoption. Sonship and adoption is what yields freedom. And in freedom, there is power, love, and a sound mind. Christ's word leads to truth. Truth is what gives sonship and adoption. Sonship and adoption is what yields freedom. And in freedom is where there's power, there's love, and a sound mind. So guess what? If that's true, what I just laid out, so is the opposite. So anything else except for Christ's word, anything else that is different from Christ's word, no matter how good it sounds or how clever the cliche is that everybody repeats and it sounds really clever and cool, if it's not Christ's word, then it doesn't lead to truth. What does it lead to? It leads to error. And if truth is what brings about sonship and adoption, well, the opposite of sonship and adoption is servanthood. It's slavery to sin. This is what Jesus is talking about. Sonship yields freedom. So guess what servanthood and slavery yields? It yields bondage. And in bondage, there's no power, there's no love, there's no sound mind. You know what's in bondage? Helplessness, fear, confusion. And those things torment. They torment the hearts and minds of men and women. Now Jesus Christ came to bring his word. And if we'll continue in that word, we'll be his disciples indeed. The Jews respond, they said, hey, we're Abraham's seed. Notice they have their confidence in the flesh. Paul knew about confidence in the flesh, but he rejected that for something better. He said, we're the ones who worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because in times past, he had put confidence in the flesh, and all it led to was anger and frustration and sin. No. Paul says, I won't glory in my flesh or in your flesh or in anyone's flesh. The only thing I'm going to glory in is in the cross of Jesus Christ. But these guys, we're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we shall be made free? We're never in bondage to any man. What? They don't even know the history of their own nation? They're wrong historically. They were in bondage to Egypt. They were in bondage to Babylon, Assyria, Persia, Rome, currently at the moment. We were never in bondage to any man. I don't think they know what they're talking about. Now, maybe they're just looking at themselves as individuals, because at that point, they were free Jews. They weren't actually slaves to the Roman government. They had freedom. So maybe they're saying, you know, we're never a servant or a slave to any man. We were freeborn, you know? But again, they're looking at the flesh. They're looking physically. It might be true you're not in bondage to any man, but they're in bondage to sin and Satan. That's even worse. They would have been better off to be a slave of man, but to be a disciple of Christ and be free in heart, than to be some free Jews making money, running synagogues and temples, and actually be a slave to Satan and sin. So how does Jesus respond? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Amen. You might say what you think, you might reason in your own heart and mind, but let's be quiet and listen to what Jesus says. Here's what I say unto you. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Straight up. These people commit sin, they're servants of sin. Anybody who commits sin, you're a servant of sin. You're not free. You haven't been freed by the truth. You haven't been freed by Christ's word. You haven't been granted that adoption and that liberty. You're a servant to sin if you continue in sin. And guess what happens to the servant? The servant will not abide in the house forever. That means he's going to perish. Now, it's interesting, specifically, Jesus is speaking to Jews. It could be referring to the house of Israel. You know what? The sinners in Israel won't abide in Israel forever. They're going to perish and be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The children of the kingdom, many of the children of the kingdom, will be cast into outer darkness. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8. But guess who lives forever? Verse 35, but the Son abideth ever. Listen, even practically speaking, in a parable sense, a servant doesn't live in the house. He comes and works in the house, but then he leaves. Comes and works in the house, he leaves. That's not ultimately his inheritance. It's not his estate. Even if he dwells on the back of the property, it's not his forever. Who inherits the house? The Son of the Father inherits the house. Who's going to inherit the entire house of Israel and the entire house of the universe, heaven and earth? The Son of the Father, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's not a servant to sin. He doesn't commit sin. No. The Son owns the house. You can read about that in Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 6. Moses, he was just a servant in the house of God. He wasn't the Son. No, Jesus is the Son over his own house. He's the one who built the house. Verse 36, what a beautiful truth. He says, if the Son makes you free. How do we get free? He just told you. You first got to believe on him, and then you have to continue in his word unto obedience. And that's what allows you to be his disciple. And as a disciple, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But now he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free. So notice, truth makes you free, but the Son makes you free. Remember, we already pointed out, the Son is the truth. It's him. Freedom comes from Jesus Christ. He has to make you free. This is why you need to become his disciple. This is why you need to not listen to any other voice and even your own voice. You need to listen to his word. You need to learn to obey his word. You need to learn to do what he says, because he is the Son of the Father. The whole house is his. He built the house. And if you want to abide in the house forever, like him, if you want to learn to do the things that please the Father like him, if you want to be free from sin and death and hell, and you want to be welcomed into the kingdom of the living God and worship the Father in spirit and truth forevermore, well, then only he is the one who can make you free. Not religion, not church, not a preacher, not a pastor, not a priest, not a holy man, not an imam. Nope. There's only one, the Son of the living God. Because if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You'll be free indeed. Not just in word, not just in theory, not just quote-unquote in doctrine. No, you'll be free indeed. That's in truth. That's in spirit. That's in action. It's in deed. And what Jesus is implying here, and I believe this, that if you'll continue in his word unto obedience, that Christ will make you free from the bondage of sin. You will no longer be a servant to sin. This is what Jesus is teaching, and this is exactly what Paul opens up in Romans 6 and in Romans 8. And confirms it in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Listen, Romans chapter 6. Paul brings forth the truth that once we're dead with Christ, once we're buried with him, that we are raised to newness of life, that we are no longer servants of sin, that we no longer have to yield our members as servants of unrighteousness unto uncleanness. But that now we are the servants of God, and we can yield our members to righteousness and holiness. He says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In the grace of Jesus Christ, sin has no more power. Sin does not rule us anymore. Jesus Christ and his truth, and his grace and his righteousness rule us. In chapter 8, he talks about how we can be made free from the law of sin and death through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He said, if the Son makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is session number 56 of the Gospel according to John. This is John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Amen and amen.